Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Novo Resources, traded on the TSX under the symbol NVO and on the OTCQX under the symbol NSRPF. I am chatting with Mike Spreadborough, executive co-chairman and now acting CEO of Novo Resources. Mike, I've received a number of emails over the last couple weeks asking for a bit of an update on quite a number of news releases that have come out ever since the tail end of March. We're going to go through three of the main topics that I receive questions on. And if anyone wants more information on any of these aspects, please email me and I will have Mike back on the show on the back of some more news to address your questions. Mike, let's start off with some of the financial results that were released March 31st. We had the 2021 financial results, and then April 7th, we had the operational Q1 update, all from Beaton's Creek. Right away, the questions that I received were, why are the cash costs and all-in sustaining costs still remaining so elevated for the company? In 2021, we saw total cash costs of just under $1,500 US per ounce, and all-in sustaining costs that went up to about $2,100 per ounce. Mike, take us through the operations, why these costs are still running fairly high.
Thanks, Corey, and good to catch up with everyone again. So it was quite a pleasing quarter. You know, obviously, we achieved the guidance and we've had consistent production through Beaton's Creek. So that's been good. That's reflected the changes we did in kind of the cutoff grade strategy last year, which has made sure that we've reduced production. In that release, important for everyone to realise, we've said that in May we'll provide everyone a better update on the life of mine for the oxide and also how the fresh project is, so people should look out for that. Through that process last year with optimising the cutoff grade, we did as best as we could to optimise the cost profile going forwards. You know, so we've probably done as much as we can, little tweaks here or there. So you won't see significant change to the cost profile. It'll go up or down. But when the fresh comes on board, the fresh has higher grade, has lower mining costs because it's more centralized. Because we'll put in a new haulage road, the haulage costs will come down. So you'll definitely see a step change when we commence mining the fresh, you know, next year.
So what work needs to be done on this fresh ore? Can people start putting numbers behind what you guys have, what the production profile might be then when the fresh ore comes in?
Yeah, so, you know, at the moment we've got two drill rigs sitting on top of the fresh resource, drilling it out at 20 by 20 meter spacings, and we've done some areas at 10 by 10. That drill out will continue until May. And we'll use that information to update the resource for the fresh, which hopefully we'll announce sometime in, you know, June, July. So that's one part of it. That'll give everyone comfort that the fresh has X number of tons, X grade, and you know, the information that we'll then use in a feasibility study to complete the mine planning. And that feasibility study will be completed in August, September. We'll have an update in May where we'll actually share some of the grades that are coming out of the fresh resource drill out so people get appreciation of the higher grade. The feasibility, as I said, is focusing on mine planning, but it will also look at a couple aspects in terms of infrastructure, tailings storage facilities required for, you know, 4 to 5 years of production. We'll also be looking at how we can move away from diesel-generated power to maybe a renewable power. So some of those other things we'll optimize as we go through the feasibility to lower the operating costs when we start mining.
So Mike, can you remind everybody where this fresh ore is related compared to this oxide resource? Because I'm sure people are wondering, why keep mining the oxide if it's costing you so much?
Two reasons. Two things why we're not mining the fresh now. In probably, I don't know, I'm guessing 70% of the layout, the oxide actually sits on top of the fresh material. So we have to move the oxide ore anyway to get to the fresh. We don't have approval from government to mine the fresh. We're working through with government with that approval process at the moment. And it might seem strange. How can you mine the oxide and you can't mine the fresh? Well, the fresh has two things. It has a bit of a different chemistry. It doesn't affect recoveries, but it has a different chemistry. and it also sits within the water table areas. So because of that, it has different environmental risks. So we need to work with government to make sure that we're managing those risks. We've done a lot of technical work. We're very comfortable with the work that will happen with mining the fresh. So, you know, short answer, sits underneath the oxide. We need to mine the oxide. Second one is we need full government approval to mine the fresh.
Okay. In terms of the operations Q1 update from Beaton's Creek, seems like the company is mining and generating the revenue that is in line with guidance. Take us through how Q1 ran then at Beaton's Creek, please.
So, look, it's been a very good start to, you know, this calendar year. The team have had a great job. Processing plants performed very well. We've seen pretty good recoveries come through. Mining rates have been good. So it has been a good quarter. As we've put in the note, we expect a similar quarter for quarter two where we are now. And we'll do an update in May going forwards in terms of guidance for, you know, possible future oxide. The other thing that's worth mentioning is, you know, we hear a lot on the markets about inflation and COVID. We're seeing very little inflationary pressures in our operations, maybe a bit of a lift in diesel price in recent times. And we've also haven't seen any major impacts with COVID. We definitely have people on our mine site who have COVID and need to be isolated, but we're having no production impact. And we are in a good position going forwards for this quarter.
Okay, this ties a bit into the next news release from April 12th, the selling of the newfound gold shares. The company's generating just under $126 million Canadian from the sale of these shares to Eric Sprott. Because of the mining that's ongoing, the higher costs, is the company under a cash crunch? Is that why the sale is happening now?
We're not under a cash crunch, but we've always recognized that Newfound Gold was a non-core investment. I think at the price we sold, it was a return on investment of about 600%. So we're using the funds from Newfound to fund kind of three or four things. One, it'll continue to fund our exploration program. You know, over 12,500 square kilometers of exploration. That will fund that growth, and we've got some exciting targets that people will hear about and have seen in our presentations that we'll go drilling in June. Some of that money is funding the feasibility study. That's about $6 million, that feasibility study. So some of those funds will go to that. Also, the ore sorting program that we'll do at Comet Well and Purdy's. But a key thing that we wanted to do, given where the position of the company is and moving into fresh mining early next year, given government approvals, is to remove the debt off our balance sheet. So by the end of August, September, we'll have a clean balance sheet, no debt. And I think that's a very good position for our shareholders to be in.
What's the company going to be spending then, budget-wise, in terms of drilling? Because I understand there's going to be a lot of drilling that's ongoing.
Yeah, we've publicly said that our budget this year is around $20 to $25 million for exploration. So that's our Victorian and our Pilbara assets for exploration. Then on top of that is the other growth expenditure on the fresh and the ore sorting that I've just talked about.
Okay, so the company is then good for cash this year, and by paying off the debt, you think that you do have a little bit longer run room then, maybe even start generating some positive income when the fresh ore comes in next year?
Yeah, I think all I can say at the moment is the fresh has high grade, so we have good expectations that the study will confirm very good cash flows whilst we mine the fresh, so everyone will see a bit more of that information around August. As I said, the real issue for us in when that cash flow can be delivered is the approvals from the government on when we can mine the fresh.
Okay, let's also talk about the April 13th news release, management change. Rob Humphreyson resigning as a director and CEO. Take us through Rob's role in building out, especially the production aspect of the company.
Yeah, Rob was absolutely key to Novo moving from, you know, the vision Quentin had for conglomerates in the Pilbara. Rob was absolutely fundamental in driving that move into the conglomerates and more recently, you know, looking at ore sorting to turn those conglomerates into economic potential. And then, you know, more recently recognizing the potential of the Beaton's Creek resource and purchasing the Nullagine mill and putting it all together so that we're in production. So he's been a big player of the company. He's built a great team. He's been fundamental to the great culture we have. And, you know, we wish Rob all the best in his new endeavors.
So who's taking over Rob's roles then? If he was so instrumental in, at first, at least moving into production, you're taking on the acting CEO role, but are you guys bringing someone else on? Who is taking over this production-focused role?
Yeah, so within the company, we have a suite of GMs. So, you know, they're kind of the engine house of driving the business. GMs for technical services and finance and environmental and, you know, sustainability and exploration and production. So, you know, the mine is, and some people would have seen this in the webinar last year, Chris Martin is our GM of operations. So he's still on board driving the business in that side of it things. So in the meantime, you know, I'm sitting in Rob's chair picking up some of the CEO duties. Towards the back end of the year, we'll make announcements on the future structure for the business going forwards. But in the meantime, we've got a great team of general managers that are in place driving the business.
How about the ore sorting too? Because that's another component that I got a lot of questions about. How is that progressing and who's taken over that role?
Yeah, so we're on track per recent presentations where we're going to move the ore sorter that we currently own. We're going to move it from Nullagine. It's finished the test work that we wanted to do there. It's going to move across to Comet Well and Purdy's, hopefully around about June this year. And it will start this parcel of around 30,000 tonnes of material. So that'll be really important to us to get parameters that we use for government for approvals, but also for ourselves so we can estimate production. So we've had a little team look after the ore sorter project to date, but now with it moving into this next phase, we are actually growing that team. Geologists and mining people coming into that team to support the metallurgical team. And we'll also have a senior manager who will be the project manager for the whole ore sorting for the company come on board in a couple of weeks. So we're well placed to push ahead with that program.
Okay. Thank you for addressing some of those news releases that I did get some questions on. Again, if you have more questions, please email me fleck@kereport.com. Let's also talk about upcoming catalysts because no denying the stock has been under pressure here. Some of these recent news releases did contribute to some higher volume days and some more downward movement. What are some of the catalysts that are coming? Sounds like more on the drilling front for the company.
So over the next 4 weeks, shareholders and investors should see, which we've already flagged, an update on the oxide production schedule going forwards, an update on the drill out of the fresh and the feasibility study. So that will be coming out in May. We'll also be providing updates on the brownfields exploration and also some of the other exploration work that we've been doing in the Pilbara. So through May, you should see those updates come forwards.
Where are the drills turning right now?
We've got a drill rig in Victoria with our joint venture partners, GBM. So that's drilling diamond core at the Malmesbury project. And people will get a bit of an update in a couple of weeks on that because we've just finished a hole and the rig's moving to another hole. We still have a drill rig sitting in the Nullagine area, drilling out Vulture and Parnell. That rig will move shortly back to the Genie project because we've done some more modelling there and we'll put some more holes in. So that focus on brownfields exploration will remain all the way through this year. As we've said previously in some of our releases, we hope to be drilling gold targets in the Egina area and nickel targets in the Karratha area around about June, July. We just need to clear some geophysics and also some heritage approvals to do that. So some very exciting opportunities coming forwards.
All right, Mike, we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you again for taking some of those questions that I received. And again, everybody, keep me up to date on your future questions. And we'll follow up as some more news hits the market, where it does sound like there should be a pretty steady flow of news coming out of Novo. In full disclosure, I am a shareholder of Novo Resources. Mike, again, thank you very much for your time, and it sounds like we'll be chatting again fairly soon.
Much appreciated.